Hello, I'm Rebecca Robinson, your host for the More to Life podcast in West Kelowna. Stories of people's lives have always fascinated me, and I believe they're one of the best gifts we can give. Our testimonies on how God delivers us through challenges or dark places inevitably gives hope and can help others see a light at the end of their tunnel. Join me as I interview varied guests who bravely tell their stories for us to be encouraged by. Welcome back to the More to Life podcast from Emmanuel Church. My name's Rebecca, and I'm here today with Yeva, and she is a recent newcomer to Canada from Ukraine. She and her family found that they needed to leave due to the Russian invasion in her town called Kharkiv, and she's here to tell us about her story and how she came to Jesus as well, and what she is actively doing to spread the mission of his word today. So welcome, Yeva, to our podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for coming. And we're so happy to hear kind of a story that is very timely, because I think a lot of us have questions about what is it like over there. And I know that thankfully you got out and you left rather quickly after an invasion in your town, but we will get to that. So I would love to start with you kind of introducing yourself and your family and your background, and you know, what's the makeup of your family, and what was your childhood like?
Yeah, so as you already said, yeah, I come from Ukraine, from a wonderful, beautiful, the most lovely city in the world, as I think. It's called Kharkiv, and it's right on the border with Russia, so on the east of Ukraine.
Okay.
Yeah, so my family consists of me, my mom, and my two younger siblings. So right now they are 17 and 19, I guess. It's so hard for siblings to count their age. Yeah. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, it was originally a non-Christian family, although our mom always raised us in the open-minded way, you know, kind of like she encouraged us to find our own way. Mm-hmm. And this affected that I was always open to something new.
Did you attend church as a family?
We didn't attend church. Although, like, Ukraine is traditionally an Orthodox country.
Okay.
So, yeah, kind of the main ideas of Christianity are common. And both me and my siblings, we were baptized as children in Orthodox Church, because, well, my mom saw that it would be good if in future we decide to be Orthodox Christian. We are already baptized because they are supposed to be baptized as a children.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she baptized us, and I had a godmother. Well, I have a godmother, and she is really, I love her, and she is a very important person for me, and she, like, even before I realized I'm actually a Christian, she shared a lot with me about Christianity. Well, of course, Orthodox denomination of Christianity, but still, yeah, well, she had a big influence on my worldview and, like my moral part of me.
Yeah,
so... yeah, this is it. My mom, my siblings. We also had a stepdad.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have. Yeah.
Do you know your dad? Or
well, I actually know him. Like, but the last time I saw him was when I was very, very little, like maybe 5 years old.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, and then we never connected again. And well, yeah, they had hard relationship with my mom. So they separated and divorced. So, and I remember that the last meeting, it was me who initiated it. I mean, I came to my mom and I said that I want to see my dad. Like, he wasn't a regular guest in our house, but I said to her that I want to meet him. She organized a meeting, and after that, I don't know why, but I didn't feel like it was actually my father. It was just a stranger, so I never had this feeling that I want more.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. In the morning of February 24th, what happened?
Yeah. Well, we were kind of prepared to that because, well, rumors were all over the country, and well, me and my family, mostly me, I wanted to be prepared, so we had our the most necessary stuff. Like it was called like emergency backpacks,
right? Yeah.
But in Ukrainian, yes, like with all the first necessity stuff, and then in fact, but no one believed that it was actually about to happen. I mean, of course,
doubt,
we
yeah.
always hope for
of
better.
Course. Mm-hmm.
And then I remember the morning. I was the one who woke up first in February 2022, and I just heard some sounds like first thing in the morning, like around 5 in the morning, and my first thought was like, who on the earth decided to do the fireworks in the morning?
Oh, wow.
I thought it was fireworks, but then so I looked out my window and I saw that, you know, kind of this morning twilight, and I see that the sky, well, I don't see the fireworks, but I see that the sky changed its color in some points, so it was kind of reddish.
Mm-hmm.
I opened my phone, I turned off my data, and then I see all of those news, and it was actually kind of, you know, like, you cannot believe it. I mean, what if I tell you that there are aliens on the West Kelowna right now?
Yeah.
Like, you cannot believe it.
Yeah.
You never expect it. But at some point, I think it was, you know, kind of like auto-emergency system in myself on mm-hmm. when I don't have to realize what I'm doing, but I have to do something. So I woke up everyone. We took our backpacks. my mom had just the best reaction. Like, she was really cared about the food, like, you know, so, like, if we leave our home and we go, like, the food is gonna stink, you know, in a few days. So she was like, oh, we have to take this and we have to take this and we're gonna eat it like on our way. Like, because I will always remember the night before, me and my little sister, we were coming back from church, and yeah, we were gonna cook the next day, and we decided to cook an apple pie. So we bought a lot of apples that my mom cared about, and we also cooked we were gonna bake a fish. So we bought like a big fish.
Oh wow! Yeah, not so. That's a stinky thing. If you leave it behind.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, that morning, it was very stressful. It was, it is still hard to believe. And yeah, me, my mom, my siblings, and our stepdad, we went to the, well, 10 minutes walking from us, there is a subway station. And all the subway stations, they are potential bomb
shelters. Right.
Yeah, so we went there, and I remember, then happened something that was And then the closest my encounter with war happened, because as soon as we entered the subway, like, we were still on the stairs, mm-hmm. but already under the roof. And I remember there was a lot of policy and a lot of military over there, because, of course, like, bomb shelter is a strategically important object.
Yes.
So, yeah, like, they checked everyone so that we wouldn't be terrorists or right. something like that. So, and we just entered the steps to go on the subway, and a bomb exploded nearby, like
wow.
like right like few meters before.
Wow.
I didn't see that, but we felt that we kind of jiggled.
Yeah.
Is this how you call
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah.
Shaking.
And then, and of course, like, we heard this sound, and I was afraid at that moment, not because of the bomb, but, you know, there were like a lot of people, and a lot of people started to panic.
Yeah.
And I had my little sister. It, like, she's little for me even right now. She was even the more little 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I just, I was afraid that a lot of people are gonna like bump into each other, and it's also on the stairs. So some people
yeah.
started to fall. And yeah, so I was afraid of that, but my mom just told us, like, just go to walls so that the crowd will not just run
yeah.
you over. So after that, it was all right. We went to the railway station because, yeah, as I told, we already had, like, kind of plan prepared. And my boyfriend's family, they had a house in the western part of Ukraine, mm-hmm. and they weren't there in the moment. Mm-hmm. They were in another home. So I already knew that if something happens, we just go there. So we went to the railway station. We found the first... Well, it was also hard to find a trail because, well, everyone wants to evacuate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, like, it, the first hours of invasion, no one is really organized. Even people on the train don't know what to do because, well, we had to buy a ticket for the train, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, well, if all the tickets are booked,
yeah,
like, what are you going to do?
What are you
going to
do?
And even the railway station worker, what are you going to do? Like, you have to take people only with tickets, but you are not going to tell a family with children that you're going to sit here yeah. under the bombs.
Yeah.
So I remember that everyone was on stress, and then we couldn't find a train to that part of Ukraine. We just, like, the first available train was to the little town in the region of our city.
Okay.
Kind of like Pentington, you
right,
know,
right.
let's just
mm-hmm.
say. And we had our church friends there. Well, my church friends, because I was the one who visited church then. So we went there because it was, well, at least not here. At
yeah.
least not. Because, of course, like, they are not going to bomb small cities because mm-hmm. they are not really important. They are going to bomb a huge city.
Right.
So we went there. And this family from the church, they were already packing. They also have, like, big family, a lot of children. And they, like, of course, everyone was going to the west part of Ukraine, like, as far as
right,
possible.
Yeah.
And we couldn't think of the best option but ask them to take my siblings with them because, of course, like, they don't have much space in their cars for me and my mom. Mm. But we wanted the little ones to be safe.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
It was very, very packed. Like
wow.
they had two cars, and both cars were very packed with stuff and with children, because they also have like three or four children, plus adults, plus grandma.
Mm-hmm. Or, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was also a big step of faith, because on one hand we want them to be as far as possible from Kharkiv, and even if it means separate them from us. But on the other hand, it's easier to not be so stressed when they are nearby. But we send them in away with those friends. And the
but
next...
they didn't know who they were, just you knew?
Yeah, just I knew. Well,
yeah.
My siblings sometimes visited church with me, so they kind of knew
okay.
about it. And if, like, my mom trusted me that if
they
I know
were,
this
yeah.
person, like, the man of this family was one of the pastors in our church. So
oh,
my
okay.
mom trusted me that
yeah.
I'm not just going to send them with the strangers.
No, of course.
So it was also complicated, like, the way they had, because to go by car through... like across all of the Ukraine, because it's kind of like horizontally located, it takes like 30 hours by car or something
wow.
like that. Like
yeah.
it's probably Ukraine is kind of like British Columbia or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But not all of the roads are so convenient, right? And also there were a lot of traffic jams. So
yeah, definitely. I was just gonna say, I mean, everyone's going to be trying to leave.
Yeah.
And even more than just your city. Mm-hmm. Were people also being bombed in different cities at the same time, trying
yeah.
to leave and clogging up the highways? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so crazy, so much little details.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we just asked those people to take them to the city that is named Lviv on the
mm-hmm.
west part of Ukraine.
Okay.
And then well, now he's my husband. At that point, he was my boyfriend. So his sister, she was in Lviv. So she was supposed to meet them and take them to their cottage house that we were talking about and planning to go. And, well, in the end of the day, the next time we met them, well, thanks God, everything was all right. And mm-hmm. we met, and it was in a week. So it took
okay.
a week for,
wow.
for them, almost a week for them to go there. Because they also... that family, they had two cars packed with children.
Yeah.
They had to do stops and overnight stops just to calm everyone down, to feed them, to wash them.
No kidding.
So, yeah, I also very thankful to that family. And also me and my mom, we still had to to somehow go there. And all the trains, also the difficulty with the train was that the Russia bombed some of the railway stations. Right. So even if we find a train, that doesn't mean this train is going to have a railway
an end point,
to go.
Yeah, to get yeah. there. Yeah.
So we had to do a lot of transits, you know, because there is actually an intercity train, and it would take like around 6 hours to go to that city, for example. But we had to take small town-to-town trains, a lot of transits yeah. and so on.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just go on the train through the field that is just full of fire, and you can see the fire like 1 meter of your train.
Aside as you're passing by? Wow.
Yeah. And then can you imagine how weird and little bit, well, that was just hilarious for me when I came to Kelowna and you stopped the bus just because of the snow, you know? And I was in Ukraine, like in a field of fire.
Yeah, going. And you're still going.
Yeah.
It's a life or death situation. And so what was your dad, your stepdad doing at this point?
Yeah, well, I wasn't really present in that conversation between him and my mom, but they decided, well, maybe he decided more. He wanted to stay. So he stayed in our city. He stayed in Kharkiv. Mm-hmm. And then later he also joined the military forces. And right now he's also on the front. He's a warrior. He's still fighting.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of civilians joined. The men yeah. joined. Yeah. So do you have... Is your mom also in Canada with you, or she?
Unfortunately, she passed away.
Oh, yeah. Yeva.
It wasn't connected to the war directly, but well, after we stayed in that little my husband's family cottage house,
right.
We stayed there for around a month, and then we realized that we want to leave Ukraine, and we went to Belgium because my boyfriend, now husband.
Yeah.
He was working in Belgium at
that
moment.
Let's just call him David.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So okay, my husband's sure. name is David. And we went there and we lived there. And she passed away last August 2023.
Oh, wow.
When I was already here in Canada.
Oh, man.
She just had some troubles with kidneys.
Oh, okay. That is so sad. After all of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so your stepdad is still fighting. Do you keep in touch with him, or?
Well, as much as we are able to, because, well, sometimes we don't have contact even for a few months because, well, it's hard for him to find connection,
of course,
to find
yeah.
internet, to find time, and also, like, what if sitting in this, how you call them, like this big pits where soldiers
okay yeah eat. Like a trench
yeah a trench so yeah. when you sit there and your phone just is dead, you know,
right.
like you don't have a battery or you don't
yeah.
have a plug, so
yeah
yeah. But for example, the last time I heard from him was a month and a half ago. So sometimes it's hard to think about that because, well, I'm never sure if I'm going to hear from
yeah,
him again.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very hard.
And I'm trying to kind of, well, I keep in touch with all of, we still have like uncles and my mother's and my stepdad's friends and also his family. So I'm trying to keep in touch with them. Like, oh, have you heard something? Oh, have you heard
yeah.
something?
Yeah. Like, when you left Ukraine and you decided to go to Belgium, what was it like while you were there? And you'd met up with David and he was waiting for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it was like a sunshine in the midst of everything.
Aww,
because
yeah.
me and David, like, we had a long distance relationship for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Europe, like, he worked in different countries. And
how
I
did
was
you meet him then?
We actually met through Instagram.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
I kind of don't like to say about that because it feels like, you know, it's so naive and so... But we were actually like very, very serious. I mean,
right.
we never stepped any lines. I guess the first few months of our conversation were just so Christ-focused because we are from different church. So
oh, okay.
we I don't know, it wasn't just like guy and the girl conversation, like, oh, what kind of tea do you like? Or yeah. what cake do you like? It was, so what do you think about Calvinism? What do you think about salvation? So what do you think about tongues? You know?
Yeah. Wow.
Like, yeah, all of those details. And then after that, if we are all right, we can proceed about cakes and tea. You know? Yeah, so, yeah. And I was, I was really happy to meet him, even in these circumstances. Mm-hmm. And it was really helpful to have him as someone who helped us to navigate through new laws in new countries, through like rules and documentation. Like, well, everything is new. Yeah. I mean, language is everything we had, because I speak English. Mm-hmm. But that's it. Like, we didn't know, like, where to go, how do we ask for refugee status, and so on. So yeah. He helped us. Also, the European Union and Belgium particularly, they still are very helpful and very sympathetic. They support Ukraine a lot. And, well, obviously, not only Ukraine, because there are a lot of immigrants and refugees from different countries in Europe. And yeah, we are just really thankful. So for the first time, maybe for a month and a half, we lived just at one women's place who just were ready to,
yeah.
Well, it was just a woman who had her private house, and she just wanted to volunteer and host some family.
Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, so she hosted us. She also helped us because, well, David speaks English even a little bit worse than me.
Okay.
So, well, he wasn't great help with that. And also, well, as disadvantage of our presence there, not all people in Belgium speak English. Even if in official administrations, like even in a refugee center, it was surprising for me that not everyone spoke English spoke English like well. So that lady, Isabel, she was really helpful because, Belgium speaks French and
Dutch.
French and Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
So she speaks both, and she was helping us to go to do some documents, to go find a doctor, or all of this kind of stuff. Since I was in school, I was also teaching English and German as a freelance job. So I was continuing to teach English and German online with my students from Ukraine. Well, at that point, they were all over the globe.
Yeah, everyone kind of joined in when they could and where.
And I was trying to continue my ministry. At that point, we decided also to continue it online, to at least have some touch points with students, touch points with and meetings with team, to know how everyone's doing. But later, maybe in 2 months, the ministry decided to stop the activity of this team just to relocate those staff members to another teams, so that, I mean, it was already clear that we are not going to continue.
So this was a ministry from your university that you encountered, and how did that encounter come about?
Yeah, so as I said before, I come from non-Christian family. But when I was a first-year student, I actually was so excited to become a student. Like, I was so excited to do the projects, to do the researches, to learn new stuff. I just wanted to achieve something, you know, and I wanted to be useful for society. I just wanted to be like a really cool student.
Yeah.
And then my group mates, they weren't really that excited. And like, most of them were at university just to please their parents or just have a diploma, no matter what it means. So I couldn't find really much friends there. And I also didn't share the mindset of those people about like clubbing, drinking.
Right. And you were younger than all the other
It always was my curse, like, until I graduated, because, well, I thought only in school it was so visible, because I mean you can take a person who is 30 and 33, you don't see the difference.
Yeah.
But 10 and 13, 13 and 16, it's a huge gap.
Yes.
And even in university, I felt it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So And one day, some of the first days in university, someone on campus just gave me a flyer that said, that was saying about first year student events, and there was something about board games and something about non-alcohol party. And I was like, well, I don't know what does it mean. Like, why would someone highlight it in their flyer? Right. But okay, well, I have nothing to lose. I have no friends. I have to socialize. So I went there, and I didn't know they were Christians, mm-hmm. but they were. So yeah, it was a campus ministry that in Ukraine, they are called Campus for Ukraine. Ukraine for Christ.
Oh, okay.
Which is a part of international ministry Campus Crusade for Christ.
Right, right.
Which is also present in Canada, yes. as part of change.
Yes.
And this is how I came to Jesus myself, because, well, at first I was like, well, I like to hang out with you guys. I like that you are non-alcohol, non-bad words, non-smoking, organization. Yeah. Like, I like the mindset, but I will never be a Christian. Like, mm-hmm. just let's respect each other, right. but don't just even try. Well, it all affected that in the beginning of 2022, in a year and a half almost, yeah, I was a Christian. I didn't even realize how it happened. I just realized that I always saw a huge difference between those people I met there and someone I met before. Hmm. I didn't realize what was it exactly, but mm-hmm. now looking back, I see that it was love. It was love that I saw between them, between team members.
Right.
I saw love in their behavior towards unbelieving students and as myself, who just came to their events, and in all the projects, even in conflict solving. They just behaved like they saw some bigger goal than everybody else had. And that was actually true. So I was really interested, and I asked a lot of questions. And yeah, I just started to go to church with them. I started to read Bible. And then at some point I realized that I don't do that just with my friends. I don't do that just to be a part of their community, mm-hmm. just to hang out with them. But even if you take everyone from my life, I still want my life to have right. Jesus in it. And later I also realized that God is calling me to continue this work and share my share gospel with other students. So I became a volunteer there, and I also wanted to become a full-time staff in that ministry after I graduate.
Wow.
So yeah. On paper.
So has your sister or your brother become Christian as well?
I don't know. Yeah, there are so many details in this story. So
yes.
It was hard for me to share gospel to my family.
Okay.
It's probably hard for everyone because no one takes you seriously. That was for my mom, for example.
Right.
She didn't take me seriously. And my brother or sister, I was too serious for them. So for them, when I share gospel to them, it was just another lesson from boring older sister.
I see.
But the student ministries that I served in Ukraine, technically it was student ministry, but my team was very welcoming for them. And they didn't mind if Damir, my brother, and Kira would come to our events, which gave them opportunity to see Christian community, to be a part of Christian community, and hear gospel not only from me, but from other Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And it all affected that both of them are Christians, actually. So when they sometimes visited church with me in Kharkiv, mm-hmm. and in Belgium we already visited church all together. Well, my brother doesn't. I mean, I think he's kind of. Yeah, he has his own journey in this way because he likes Christianity. He says he's Christian, and well, as he can, he follows it, but he doesn't like the church concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's kind of a part of his autistic disorder, because when I ask him, why don't you come to church with us? He says
right.
that he doesn't want to meet people. He doesn't want to talk to people.
Right.
It's
a pressure.
Yeah, it's a pressure for him. So at this point, we agreed to at least watch online translations. Translation, yeah.
Online church?
Oh, yeah, kind of online church.
Sermon, yeah.
Yeah. And I hope that, Yeah, I don't hope. I know that God will lead him in his way. So
yeah.
I just don't want to also be another pressure for him. I want to be a person who encourages him in his own way.
That's wonderful. Oh, such good news that that all happened through you.
Yeah.
And through that ministry. Okay, so why don't you tell us then the journey to Canada, and when did you start to feel at home? Like when you settled here, you chose to settle here because his family is in Vernon, or his sister, right? And you live in Rutland area, is that right?
Right now we live at Gushkin area, like around Springfield and Gordon.
So how did you transition to working here then in the ministry?
Yeah, well, I knew that it's an international ministry. So first thing, when I came here, I just Googled it.
Okay.
I just Googled where is Campus Crusade for Christ, in which countries and how it's called in different countries. And I found the Instagram page. Although, well, it was, as I said before, it was my specialty at university to learn English.
Yes.
But if your specialty is to be a surgeon, you cannot do the surgeon operations right after the graduation.
Right, yeah.
You still have to do practice. So it was hard for me to speak English.
Yeah.
It was a little bit easier in Belgium, but it's a foreign language for everyone in Europe and everyone in Belgium. So we were kind of on the same level, which comparing to coming here and speaking with you like a native speakers, it was so contrast, you know. So I was kind of afraid to go to ministry and to talk to them, just because, well, speaking in English is hard, like, but speaking in English about Christ and all of those, you know, kind of Christian words and topics,
you
like
get it right.
Salvations and that we are washed with the blood of a lamb. Like, I don't know. That is not just stable, regular vocabulary that they teach you in university.
Right. Yeah.
So I just started to work as a, regular person. I started to work at Superstore.
Yeah.
I was a personal shopper at Superstore, and I was just kind of following Instagram page of the ministry and waiting for the right time to have all of my courage to talk to them.
Yeah.
So last September, I finally contacted them. So I contacted them, and I just met with staff member, and I just shared my story, and they invited me to be a volunteer at first, because although it's a part of the global ministry, in each country and even in each city, they have a little bit different focuses and a little bit different ministry styles. So I became a volunteer, and for the last year, I was a volunteer staff at the team. Practically, we work as a student club, so it's weekly gatherings with students. When we have worship sessions, we have some outreach project to share gospel with other students on campus. We have some social events, like watch Chronicles of Narnia,
right.
With discussion after that and so on. And we also have kind of like weekly topics when we discuss some Bible stuff, when we discuss prayer, and different challenges that students meet on campus. And I actually, why did I actually become a volunteer at this ministry in Kharkiv, and why do I think that I want to continue that? Because I was a student on campus, and although I was I was an unbeliever, and I know how hard it is to find your way, like in this time when you're a student, when you are starting to separate from your family, when you have this identity crisis, and you know this world has a lot to offer you. I mean, you can walk on one side of the street, and you will hear so many opinions, and then you just cross the street and you hear absolutely different opinions. And then all of those opinions and all of those influencers and cultures and your family background, it all just messes in your head. And then in the end of the day, you're not sure who you actually are and which of these views that you have are your original views and which of them are forced to be your mindset.
Yeah.
So I really see the importance of some place where students can just ask questions, where students can be challenged to think about their identity and their own choices, and where they just have comfortable society and comfortable community mm-hmm. when they where they can grow.
Can you tell us up until this point, what has shaped you up to this point? And you've written down challenges, and boy, we've heard them today. So why would you pick that as what has shaped you?
Well, I remember I had some big doubts in my face at some point, and I came to my pastor in my home city and I asked about them. And well, he just at this point at that particular church, he said that that is something that I should deal kind of on myself because it was an inner challenge. But he told me a story. There was an experiment in USA, like I don't remember what day, I don't remember all of these names mm-hmm. Of the places, but there was an experiment where they tried to do a fictional sphere and kind of grow the world from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So they kind of built a huge glass ball on the ground.
Yeah.
And they started kind of to reproduce how it was when the life just begins on the ground. So they started to grow plants, like they did a fictional sun, you know, kind of the temperature, kind of like a warm house.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So the thing was that there were trees in that sphere, and they were really high and they were really slim. And at some point they just started to break because they were like really high.
Yeah.
And really slim. So the solution, like the answer why it happened was that in this sphere, they didn't have wind. So when the winds in nature blows onto the tree, it firms the tree because the tree feels that it has to be more firm and it has to have more of this tree cover, call it.
The roots.
Like more roots.
The bark.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and the bark. So it becomes more firm just mm-hmm. because it has something to challenge it.
Right.
Something like, you know,
yeah.
what doesn't kill us makes us stronger.
Right, yeah.
So, and that was very inspiring history for me. And that is what I mean by challenges that shape us, that shaped me. Mm-hmm. Because in each of these challenges, I had to learn something new. I had to learn something new about myself, about God, mostly about God, mm-hmm. and about world and how it all communicates and how it all works together, me, God, and the world.
Yeah.
Who am I and who is God in this world? And I still think that I have so many questions and I still haven't overcome all of these challenges, but on each step that you take to overcome the challenge, it's a great lesson for you and it's a great insight. Not everything is really a pleasant lesson. And not everything is a lesson until you see the final result. Sometimes you're gonna question this challenge for years and years, maybe for all your life, and maybe even after the death, until we all go to our Heavenly Father. Maybe we don't have our answer even then, but you need something to question you. You need something to challenge you, and you need this wind to blow on you to mm-hmm. become more and more firm.
Mm-hmm. I just love that. I love that analogy. I'm going to remember that one too. And so through all of this, what have you learned about who God is?
I really see God as a teacher, and I really see God as a friend. So it's kind of, it's hard to see when you imagine it as the earthly teacher or earthly friend as people. But when I see God, I mean, when Jesus came onto earth and when Jesus lived the life we have, when he faced all of those challenges, he had even more challenges than us, and he still didn't fail. He is a friend who understands me. He's a friend who knows what I'm going through. And every time I feel this burden, every time I feel this weight on my shoulders, he is somewhere somewhere near. He's right here mm-hmm. on the left or right here on the right. I don't know. He's just somewhere here. And he takes my shoulder. He strengthens them. He takes the steps with me and he says, I know that's hard. Yeah. I know that that's hard on you. But at the same time, he's my teacher because, well, he tells me how to do that right. And I just haven't met such a perfect teacher who says, well, I know that's hard, but you need to overcome it. You need to overcome it. But at the same time, I just totally understand you in your fight. I totally understand how hard it is. So no pressure, but you have to move on, but no pressure. So that is something how I experience God the most, these two features mm-hmm. as a teacher and as a friend.
That's lovely. And you have a phrase that you like, life is hard and God is good. Do you want to describe that?
Yeah, exactly. That is something that I heard on one of the sermons. I don't remember in which church, but somewhere here in Canada. That was a really powerful insight for me, that life is hard and God is good. And the important point here is the word "and." There is no but, because sometimes even I heard this phrase, life is hard, but God is good. And it gives you this feeling that these two statements, they don't work together, that there is this hard mm-hmm. life, but God will conquer it, and God will change your life, and everything will be good. Well, I mean, everything will be good. And God is good, and he will change your life, and he changes it. But it, in our worldly mindset, in our human sinful mind, we kind of twist it in the way that life is hard, but God will take my order and do that the way I want to. But God never said that life is going to be convenient. Instead, he even said that don't even surprise when there will be trials in your way. Mm-hmm. Don't be surprised when you will be persecuted. Don't be surprised when it's going to be hard because life of Jesus was hard.
Yeah.
And in the same way, in Isaiah, I guess, chapter 43, the same God said that he loves us. The same God said that he cares about us. And also, like, well, a lot of things, a lot of verses in scripture say about that. So God is our teacher and God is your friend as well.
Can I ask if you could offer any encouragement to someone listening today, either maybe it's a new student going to university, or maybe it's someone that has, you know, also been uprooted or recently moved to a new country or is facing the language challenges. What would you say as an encouragement to somebody listening?
Well, first of all, I would probably come back to life is hard. I know that. We know that. It's hard for everyone in different stages, but God is good. And no matter what, but he's still with you. He's there for you. And I find it the most important in my life as an emotional supporter, as someone with whom you can talk mm-hmm. and who is there to listen to you, mm-hmm. who is there to hear you out. Because I feel like sometimes in our struggles, you know, there are a lot of undeserved struggles in our lives. Not everything is a punishment. Not everything is a lesson from God. Sometimes it's just a consequence that we live in a broken world. It's not everything is fair. I understand that, but your sinful heart will sometimes make you feel special. Mm-hmm. The sin will tell you, you don't deserve it, but you have the most hard life in the world.
Right.
You are the best person in the world, but your life is so hard. And you are special in that. You are special because you are the only one who faces struggles. Mm-hmm. And that's why God doesn't understand you, because he takes care of everyone, but not you. Mm-hmm. He fixes problems of everyone, but not mm-hmm. you. And everyone has their happiness, but not you.
Yeah.
And this is what devil will try to do with you.
Yeah.
But that is not something. That is an idea of God is... Oh, yeah. So this devil's lie is an idea of life is hard, but God is good.
Right.
Life is hard, but God is good to anyone, but not you,
right.
Because you are special and you are especially miserable in all of this because you allow God to be not good to you.
Right.
But our mindset should be life is hard and God is good. Mm-hmm. Life is hard and God is here for you. And maybe you don't see the solution right now, but God's promise, God has gave us a lot of wonderful promises. And one of them is that he will not allow anything to happen to us that is over our powers, over the powers that he equips us with.
Mm-hmm.
He will show you the way so that you can bear those challenges.
Yeah.
So in the end of the day, he will be there for you and he will show both emotional and inner support, and he will also show you the way where to be in real life.
Yeah, wonderful. That's great encouragement for anyone going through anything hard. I really love that phrase. And so I also ask everyone that I interview, what Bible verse has maybe had an impact on you and your journey, and why? What stood out?
I really like the Bible verse from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all of you who are struggling hard and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. That just continues my thought
does,
from before. God is good, and God is loving, and God is caring, and God is truthful. He is our rest and our shelter, and that is something that we are tempted to doubt because of our selfishness and this I can do it all myself syndrome, you know, when devil says you that you are special and God helps to anyone but not you, and he says, okay, I will do it all myself and I will carry out all of my problems myself, but we cannot. And whether our multiple attempts to be in control fail, God is always there to give us rest, waiting for us to understand our mistake and come back to him as a friend and as a teacher.
That's a wonderful verse that will really carry with a lot of people. It resonates with me right now, for sure. And I thank you. And I think that, is there anything else that I haven't asked that you want to add?
Probably not, but thank you a lot for those questions.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming and doing this interview. And I know that it will bless our listeners. And I just pray that your ministry will all work out for you and your fundraising. And you have a lot of gifts to offer those students. And yeah, just be blessed and thank you.
Thank you a lot. Thank you for everyone who listens to me.